Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nation.
Thank you very much. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you because you're here with us. And we're going to experience a transformation. We give you honor and glory because you are good. You're a loving Father. And what can we do without you? We can do nothing. We are nothing without you, my God. We confess to you our total allegiance, our total dependence, our total reliance upon you, your providence, your sustenance, your care, your leadership, your guidance, and we call you master of our lives. We call you master of our lives. We call you master of our lives. Let's just lift our hands and personally commit to God our faithfulness, our allegiance, our devotion. Just go ahead right now. Father, I thank you because you are my Lord, you are my master, you are my King. Where you say go, I go. What you say do, I do. I call you master. I call you King. I call you Lord. Have your way with me. Have your way with me. Have your way with me in every aspect, in every situation, oh God. Be master. Be King. Be Lord. Hallelujah. I bless you. I honor you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Just stand to your neighbor and say something good is going to happen to you. Turn to the other and say you'll be blessed because you came. Hallelujah. Today I want to talk about the sovereignty of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In Exodus chapter 33, there's something interesting. We find Exodus chapter 33. Hallelujah. Are you there? All right, let's begin from verse 9. It says, "And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up these people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, shew me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up thence. Hence, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, shew me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to talk about the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God means God being able to do what he wants to do, without need of your permission, my permission, anyone's permission. He is God. He's the all in all. Praise the Lord. He can do anything he wants to do at any time he wants to do it, whenever he wants to do it, with whomever he wants to do it. Glory to God. And today as the worship team was singing, I felt that reinforced further in my heart as they were singing, Asobola, Asobola, Mukama, Asobola. Hallelujah. So I want to talk about the sovereignty of God. As you know, God created us. It was his own decision, his own choice to make us. The Bible says we are his people. We are the sheep of his hand. It is him who has made us and not ourselves. Glory to God. So it's true, God is in control, like people say. He has all power. He upholds the world by the word of his mouth. Glory to God. And he will do anything he wants to do at any time he wants to do it. But the reason why he tells us these things is actually interesting. He's not telling us these things so that we can sit back and say, "Ah, God can do anything he wants to do. I mean, he knows my address. If he wants to talk to me, I don't have to go to church." I mean, he can do anything. He can send ravens to feed me. Hallelujah. He can do anything. However, that's not what he wants us to understand. Because if that was the case, then no one would go to hell. No one would be poor. No one would be suffering. Because as you know, the will of God is that people be well, that they live a long life. In Proverbs, you remember in chapter 3, the Bible tells us that if you fear the Lord, he says, no, wisdom, he says, "By me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased." If you fear your mother, I mean, if you obey your mother and your father, he says, it will be well with you. You will live a long life. All will be well with you. However, that is not happening to everybody. Glory to God. The things God wants to happen are not necessarily happening to everybody. So whatever happened to him saying, "I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. I'll be merciful to whom I'll be merciful." There's a secret there. Glory to God. And that is that God wants you to appeal to that ability of his to do anything about anything at any time he wants to do. You know, God, he says in Jeremiah 17, verse 14, that heal me all. I mean, this is the prophet speaking by this inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he says, "Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved." In other words, he's saying that, "Lord, if you don't do it, it won't happen. If you don't touch me, I won't be touched. If you don't bless me, I won't be blessed." Glory to God. And yet he seems to turn that around in Matthew 13. You remember verse 15 where he says, these people's heart has waxed gross. Their ears are heavy. Their eyes they've closed. But then he says, lest at any time they should turn again and be converted and I should heal them. The one who says, the one who shows us that unless he heals us, we will not be healed. Unless he saves us, we will not be saved. Yet turns around and says, at any time, if you turn around, if you are converted and you begin to see with your eyes and to hear with your ears and to perceive with your heart, he will heal you. At any time. Glory to God. At any time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's stand up. Again, let's do what we did last time. Let's stand up. I know some of you are so used to. Let's stand up. Let's say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I can see you in class. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Let's sit down. I thought you were going to say amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, I want to talk about the sovereignty of God. This God who says, "I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will be merciful to whom I will be merciful." This God who can do anything at any time. He wants to show you that all that power that he has actually cannot do anybody any good unless we reach out for it. Glory to God. I'm reminded of the story of Esther. You remember Esther and Haman and all that was going on. And you remember how Esther plays her move and she arranges a feast for the king. She says, if it pleases you, let me arrange a feast and please come, O king. And then let also Haman come and all these things. She arranges for the king to come to the feast. And I think she did like twice or thrice. And in all this time, she knows that if only she can get the king
to decide that Haman is done with, it will be done. Glory to God. However, the king is not going to just do it without even knowing what is happening. She had to set up the conditions, the situation that would allow that the king would see things her way. And once he saw it, then surely he would have mercy on whom he will have mercy, and he will show grace to whom he will show grace. Hallelujah. Let's read in Romans chapter 9. Paul quotes this, what happened in Exodus chapter 33, Romans chapter 9. Hallelujah. All right. Verse 10, it says, and not only this, Romans chapter 9, verse 10, it says, and not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith unto Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. I wanted to show you here, the Bible is saying God is the one who decided that Esau will serve who? Will serve his younger brother. What was his name? Jacob. Hallelujah. It's God who decided that Esau will serve Jacob. Jacob had no part in it. Esau had no part in it. God simply decided, I'm going to show this one mercy, and I'll not show this one mercy. I'll be gracious to this one, but I'll not be gracious to the other one. And so when we see scriptures like these, you know, we get puzzled. We are like, does God have favorite children? Does God like some people more than he likes others? I think there is an answer for that. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, you remember he says that in a great house there are vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. Some for noble uses and others for common use. Let's read that one also. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Are you there? All right. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 20, it says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. Now, I want you to see there, when God set up his house, there were some vessels he arbitrarily chose to be honorable. And then there are others he chose to be common, to be of normal uses. But he didn't leave it at that. He moved on and told us that you can do something about it. He said, if you purge yourself from these which ones? The wood, the earth, the vessels that are not so honorable. If you separate yourself from them, you distinguish yourself by your life, by how you live, then you will be a vessel of honor. That means you will change status. Glory to God. You become something like the other ones that were what you were not before. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, and I'm going to get there, but I want you to see that this idea that he will have mercy on whom he has mercy is not a final thing that is stamped and finished, because the same way that he had mercy to say, let this one sit here, let the other one sit there, if this one who is sitting in a position that is not so favorable decides to appeal to that same mercy and grace by distinguishing themselves, maybe by praying, maybe by asking, this same mercy has not ended. It can say, because you have asked me, let me move you from here and put you here. Glory to God. That's what happened to Jabez. Jabez prayed to God and said, oh, that you would bless me. Oh, that you would increase me. It seems Jabez was in a not so advantaged position in his family. He was like, who? What's this gentleman's name? Benjamin. Is it Benjamin? Not Benjamin. Gideon. The one who said, I am the least in my family. My family is the smallest in our tribe, and our tribe is the last one. Oh my goodness. But then he said, oh mighty man of valor. I like what he also, what the scripture also says in Luke chapter 1 about Bethlehem. And it says, oh Bethlehem, thou art not the least among thy brothers. For out of thee there shall come a governor. Hallelujah. Who shall redeem my people Israel? Man, you may be the smallest. You may be the least. And by the way, you are the least because his mercy decided that you be like that. But out of thee can come a governor. Hallelujah. Out of thee can come something special like it happened to Bethlehem. Glory to God. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. So in the house, there are these vessels. Some are noble, others are not noble. But it seems God in his wisdom, I don't know why it's like that, but it's like when the Bible says, many are called, but few are chosen. God goes and Jesus tells us this story of how this man invites people for his banquet, and then they come, and then there are few, and then he sends for others, and then they come, and others, and then when they come to the door, he checks them and says, you know, why didn't you come with a garment, or this one, you know, why did this happen? And then he allows some in, he does not allow others, and then Jesus explains and says, this means that many are called, but few are what? Chosen. I like that thought. You see, if God really didn't want all of them to be chosen, why did he call many? It's not that he didn't want. He wanted as many as can. Revelation tells us, let as many as want to come, come and drink of the water of life freely. Glory to God. But he puts conditions in place where only the overcomers can win. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It says, they that overcome, what will happen? I'll give one of them a stone, which has a name in it that no other person knows, except the one to whom it's given and the one who is giving it. Then for others, it says, those who overcome, I'll give them garments that are white, that, you know, in other places, he says they will cover their nakedness. Then for others who overcome, he says he will grant them to sit with him in the kingdom. Glory to God. And other such things. But I wanted you to see that he wants everyone to overcome, isn't it? But the reason why he puts the condition that they must overcome, not just get it for free, is that he only wants those who want what he wants to get it. Hallelujah. You must want what he wants for you. Glory to God to have it. That seems to be the way he works. So he says, many are called, but few are chosen. That illustration makes it clear. These vessels in the house, because by being in the house, it shows you they were all invited. They were all called. But few were chosen. He chose and said, let these ones be for honorable use. And he chose and said, let these ones be for not so honorable use. However, he did it out of justice and mercy. Because like he said, even in the Old Testament, you remember that place where the Lord was speaking to Esau, and then he told him that you will serve your younger brother. But one day, when you get tired, the yoke of your brother will be broken from your shoulders. That's what God told Esau, in spite of him being ordained to serve his younger brother. He told him one day it will turn out that you will decide that you're tired, and then the yoke will be broken from off your shoulders. So I want you to see, many were called, they entered the house, they were all these vessels. But then he chose some and said, let these ones be honorable, let these ones not be honorable. But the story does not end there, because it says, if these ones purge themselves, if they separate themselves from commoners. Notice it's not God who separates you in this case. He already separated and said, let these ones be honorable, let these ones not be honorable. But if you distinguish yourself in spite of how things are, in spite of the status quo, What's going to happen? He says, then you will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and fit for the master's use. Oh my, hallelujah. Then you become like Phinehas, who decides to, in the midst of the plague, attack these people who had decided to commit fornication. And the Lord tells, I think he told Moses, that he was pleased with what Phinehas had done. And he said, now I'm going to give him an everlasting priesthood. Glory to Jesus. That was something Phinehas distinguished himself for. It's not something that was foreordained to happen to him. Glory to God. And so I feel like telling you, like we have sung, Mukama Asobola, hallelujah. God can, hallelujah. Like Obama used to say, yes, we can. Praise the name of Jesus. Ah, hallelujah. We may have been born in the wrong side of town, but yes, we can go to the right side of town. Hallelujah. Kenneth Hagin used to say, most Pentecostals in his days were born on the wrong side of the railway tracks. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But we can. Glory to God. We can change. Things can so change for you that you don't recognize where you came from and how things started. Hallelujah. Because I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. You see, that means that if someone is in a more advantaged position than you, you should say mercy. Hallelujah. You should say grace, because grace is what put them there. Grace is what put you here. But if it's grace that put them there, that means that grace can also accommodate you. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16 says, let us by him therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. What did he say? He said he will show mercy to whom he will show mercy, and he will show grace to whom he will show grace. Now let's come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. My goodness. Some preachers said that the correct rendering of that verse is, let us come boldly to the throne of love gifts. Hallelujah. Does any of you need some favor from God? Favor means preferential treatment. Does any of you need some preferential treatment today? Hallelujah. I think it's going to happen to you. Yes, we can. Hallelujah. Praise the name. Asobola. Glory to God. Man, you can come to the throne of grace, the throne of love gifts, and say, Mukama, bless me above my brothers. You know, Hebrews 1 tells us that because thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity, therefore the Lord, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. I have learned that God, in his love of all of us, he's not like a socialist. He doesn't make us all one size fits all, praise the Lord. We're not like some green men from another planet who have equal noses, equal heads, equal legs. He loves us all, praise the Lord. But he loves us all that he wants us to participate in how we end up in life. In his equal love for all of us. Do you know how fair he is? He says, what you sow is what you reap. Glory to God. He loves us so equally. If you sow, you will reap because of him. If he sows, if somebody else sows, he will give everyone according to the measure they have given. That's the equality. But the sad truth, the honest truth is we won't all sow the same way. Praise the Lord. We will not all put in the same, and we will not all want the same thing. We don't all want 40-inch TVs. Some people just want 20-inch TV. Others don't want TVs. They want phones. Praise the name of Jesus. But he will show mercy to whom he will show mercy. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. So, I want to show you that you can change your fortunes. You can change your status. You can change where you are. God loves us all. But in his love for all of us, he wants us to all participate in what shape, form, or fashion the life we shall live. Glory to God. And how we shall be. Amen. So, these inequalities he puts there, he tells us, I think it's in 1 Corinthians 12, that God has tempered the body. He has set up the body, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacks it, and having left the other part, which is more prestigious, without special honors. Hallelujah. And then he says that the members may have the same care one for another. Do you remember that? When one part hurts, all the parts hurt with it. When one part is honored, all the parts are honored with it. Now, in this kind of setup, what happens? He says that by that which every joint supplies, in Ephesians 4, then all the parts of the body are caused to be nourished equally. But let me tell you, that equality is achieved by inequality. Do you see that? There are haves and have-nots. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. There are haves and have-nots. That is why he says in 2 Corinthians 8:14, he says that God having ordained that now at this present time, your abundance may be the supply of another's want. So that in a time later, there your want may be supplied by their abundance. So that there may be equality. Let's read that scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Hallelujah. Now look at this. It says, But by an equality that now at this time, 2 Corinthians 8:14, but by an equality that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply of your want, that there may be what? Equality. Now that, and then verse 15 says, as it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, or nothing excess, and he that had gathered little had no lack. And then verse 16, but thanks be to God which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. So there are these inequalities there for the sake of our equality as a group, as the commonwealth, praise the Lord, as the entire body of Christ. If we all had the same things, there would be no communication. There would be no sharing. There would actually be no need of one another. That's why he says the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And also the hand can't say to the feet, I don't need you, and things of that nature. There must be need for there to be communication and sharing and fellowship. Glory to God. Now, I'm saying that having seen that, then you understand why God has to exalt one person over the other. It has to be an anointing of gladness that makes you above thy fellows. Glory to Jesus. And we must be happy with that, because if there is no one above another person, there is no one benefiting any other person. Everyone has everything. Do you see what I'm saying? So now, having seen that and understood that God must make one above another for the sake of us to benefit, then you're going to see that he shows us in 2 Corinthians 8:14, the verse that we've read, that there's a timing issue there. This state of affairs keeps altering. It keeps being rearranged. Glory to God. The haves and have-nots are not the same haves and have-nots all the time. Glory to God. Some haves and have-nots today will be the have-nots of tomorrow, so that they are benefited by the haves. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Amen. And all this is because of the sovereign God. The sovereign God who creates. You see, one of the things we know about this sovereign God is that he created us. We did not create ourselves. He is God. Hallelujah. He did that. But do you know that even in that, he calls us to participate. He tells Jeremiah, can these bones live? And Jeremiah says, oh God, you know. Because he knows I'm not the creator. You are the creator. Was it Ezekiel? Sorry. So what does God say? God doesn't say, hey, you're bright. I'm the one who knows. Okay, it's okay. It will be fine. No, no, no. He says, you command the bones to live, and they shall do what? And they shall. So he says, command. Say the wind. Wind come from the north. Which direction did he say? The north, I think it was. And blow upon these bones. And then he says, let flesh come. Let sinews come. Let all these things come. I'm trying to show you that when God The answer to the human problems, the human needs, is not that just that Mukama Sobola. It's that also Mukama Jachikola. Hallelujah. Sobola, but does he want? That's what the lepers challenged Jesus about in Matthew 8. Or Jesus challenged the leper about. The leper who came to Jesus. And he says, have mercy upon me. And Jesus say, and Jesus says, what do you want? And he says, Lord, you can make me clean if you want to. You can make me well if you will. Hallelujah. But Jesus says, he didn't question anything about the willing part. He says, I will be thou clean. Hallelujah. I want. And God says to you also that he wants. Glory to God. Can these bones live? Can they live? Hallelujah. Mukama asobola, yes, but that's, if it was just about asobola, they would already be living. He wants you to speak to the what? To the bones and they shall live. So, this sovereign God, first and foremost, he's the one who created us. We didn't create ourselves. If anything, he's going to be created in our lives. Asobola. Hallelujah. He can create a job for you that's not there in the company. Hallelujah. Remember, Pastor Moses told us about how they created a scholarship for him to go to the USA. Hallelujah. God can do that for us. But the issue is not about us, Asobola. It's about, do you want what he wants? Glory to God. Because we are coming from where we started, that your status is not meant to stay the same forever. Hallelujah. The haves and have-nots are not supposed to remain the haves and have-nots of time immemorial. Hallelujah. They can change. The second thing he tells us, apart from the fact that he creates us, we are his people, the sheep of his hand, is that he sets the times and the seasons of our lives. He said that in Acts chapter 17, verse what? Verse 28, I think. 26, 27. Where it tells us that from one blood he has made all men for to dwell on the face of the earth and has determined the times appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Hallelujah. This happened also in Acts chapter 1 when they were trying to, when they wanted to get a replacement for Judas. And just before that in chapter 1, let's read something there. Chapter 1. No, actually, this was before the Lord had resurrected. So we are told in chapter 1, verse 6 of Acts, it says, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you. Hallelujah. Just turn to your neighbor and say, it is not for you. To know the times and the seasons, it is not for you. To know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. Glory to God. So he, in Acts 17, he tells us he set the times. He chose which times you should be on earth. He chose which times you should be on earth. But in those times, he also chose the set times within those times when certain events should happen. Glory to God. So there's the time frame, and then there's the set time. Like Dr. Dennis was preaching here sometime, and he told us the difference between time and season, something like that. So there's the time, as in 1941 to 2018. But then there's also the set time, when you should go where, when you should be what. Those set times are there. In Psalm 139 also, you can just note it down. He said in verse 13 to 17, you created me, and then you knew all my days before they were. And then he says, you wrote them in a book and put them somewhere. Can you imagine that? You are just living out the script. Glory to God. He set the times and the seasons. So he's sovereign. But again, like we said, Asobola, God can do anything. God does anything the way he wants. However, within this realm of things that are already set, there are some things about which you can reset the time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You do certain things. Like I said in Matthew 13:15, it says, lest at any time you should be converted and I should heal you. That time is up to you. You can decide at any time to be converted, to be changed, to begin to see what you are not seeing and hear what you are not hearing and perceive what you are not perceiving, and then he'll heal you.
The same God who set the time. You see? Glory to Jesus. That is something for you. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, the Bible tells us in Mark chapter 4, verse 26, that the kingdom is like when a man goes to sow seed. Glory to God. And then when he sows the seed sprouts, and he goes to bed, goes to bed by night, rises by day, and the seed sprouts in a way he doesn't know. But then, when it brings forth first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear, and then he says, he puts in the sickle and says, the harvest has come. That harvest, according to 1 Corinthians 15, if you remember where Paul was talking about their heavenly bodies, their earthly bodies, and all these things, and he likens it to someone going to the field to sow a seed. He says that that seed which you sow, I think it's in verse 37, 1 Corinthians 15, says that seed which you sow is not the same thing that comes back. Hallelujah. Whether it is of one grain or another, but says God gives it a body as he is pleased to do. Hallelujah. He decides that let this one be an orange. Let this one, of course you planted orange seeds, but the seed that comes back, because he said that when you sow a seed, unless a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it falls to the ground and die, then it brings forth much what? Much fruit. Do you remember that? You're looking at me like I'm telling you. Wakai mane wango. Oh my goodness. Glory to God. So anyway, this is what he says. He says, when you sow the seed in 1 Corinthians 15, I think it's 15:37. He says, God gives it a body as he chooses. It may chance of wheat, or of corn, or of some other grain, something like that. And now I want you to see, that is again the same as what Paul said when he says, it is not about him who plants, 1 Corinthians 3, or him who waters, but God who gives the what? The increase. So, this is what I'm trying to say. God is the one who gives the increase. But that is not a reason for us to say, if there's going to be cassoli, if there's going to be maize, it's going to be there. Because God is the one who gives the increase. It's not you who plants, you who waters. It's not about you, it is about him. No. So I'm saying the set time for the crops to come is his choice. He chooses what kind of what? Seeds, what kind of return will come when you put the seeds in the ground. However, there is no return when you don't put seeds there. And the day you take the seeds there, we hope you will know God's timing, but one way or another, it is you who will go to the field. It's you whose time God will work with. If you put the seeds today, God's giving of those seeds increase will work with your timing. He sets times, but you also can have a part to play in the times. Hallelujah. It may be time for you to marry. It may be time for you to die. Job 5:26 says that you will come to the grave in a full age, full of day. You will come to the grave in a full age like a corn of wheat comes in its season. Hallelujah. A shock of wheat or a cob of maize or something like that comes in its season. It says in the fullness of time. Glory to God. But you have a part to play. You must be like Paul who says, I've run the race. I've finished my course. Now awaits me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord will give to me, but not only to me, but to all those who have loved his appearing. So the sovereign God creates us, but he also asks us to participate in creating things. That's why giving birth to children is called procreation. Hallelujah. Reproducing. The second thing he does is he sets the times and the seasons of our lives. We've given you the illustration of that. Number three is he sets the bounds of our habitation. He decides where on the map you should live and whether you should have a black skin or a yellow skin. Hallelujah. He sets the bounds of our habitations. That's also in the other same verse, Acts 17:26. He sets the times. Yes, then he also sets the bounds of our habitation. Glory to God.
And from there, we can also extend the next idea there, which is that not only does he set the bounds of our habitation, he also chooses the places of our assignment within those bounds of our habitation. Hallelujah. So he chooses whether you should be a hand or you should be a foot, or you should be a what? An ear or an eye. Now, it doesn't matter, by the way. If you're a toe, still that toe is a toe in the body of Christ, which is sitting far above all principalities and powers. And, you know, people get so smart. They say, I'm just one of your humble servants. I'm just a little toe, you know. I live in a corner, in a cabin on the corner of Glory Land. Even if it's a cabin, as long as it is in some corner of Glory Land, and it is a toe, glory to God, that toe has all authority. Hallelujah. Over principalities and powers and might and dominion. So he sets the place, the bounds of our habitation and the places of our assignment. He says that in Romans chapter 12. Let's read there. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 4. Okay, from verse 3 says, for I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. And it goes on and on. But verse 5 was the one I wanted to highlight. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Sorry, verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. This office is referring to places of assignment in the body of Christ. Glory to God. We've been given these assignments, but now let me show you something. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, no, chapter 10, and to show you that God gives you a placement in the body, like he gives you bounds of your habitation, but even those places are not permanent. They can be changed. Hallelujah. With God, together with God. Hallelujah. Let's read there. All right. Now let's look at verse 10. Going downwards. First, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10 says, for his letters say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak, his speech contemptible. Let such an one think this, that such as we are in word by letters when we are absent, such we will be also indeed when we are present. Okay? Now, verse 12, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. But we will not boast of things, if I use the plain English here, will not boast of things outside our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God has distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. So Paul is saying, we've all been given a measure of space of operation, which in Romans 12 he calls the office or the place of assignment. That measure was decided by God. He chose that Paul should be an apostle to the uncircumcised, just like Peter was given an apostleship to the circumcised. That is a prescribed space. Hallelujah. But the story doesn't end there. You see, in all this, I'm trying to show you that God is sovereign. He does what he wants when he wants. But he's a sovereign being who wants to be appealed to or influenced by his subjects. He wants his subjects to have an influence on this sovereignness of God. Now, this is a perfect example. So he says God has distributed to us a measure, and in this particular case, the measure he had given Paul reached unto the Corinthians. Now look at verse 14. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reached not unto you, for we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ. Now verse 15. Not boasting of things outside our measure, that is of other men's labors, But, that's the key word there. But, now but what? But having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. And then what will happen? To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. Hallelujah. Now, that means God may have apportioned to you Uganda or East Africa, but if your faith is increased, hallelujah, the faith of the Ugandans, but also the faith of this person who is sent to the Ugandans, if their faith is increased, this person whom God sent to them will receive a bigger commission so that they will now go and preach to the people who are beyond. Hallelujah. Maybe they'll go to West Africa. Maybe they'll go to some other place. But it's not just about preachers. It's every other place in life that you're given by God. It can be enlarged. The key here, he says, is that when your faith is increased, I think it's a matter of faith and it's also a matter of faithfulness. He says, he who is faithful with little, what will happen? More shall be given to him. More space, more assignment. That rule applies also to measures, the measure of the gift of Christ. If you're faithful with the little, more will be given to you. Hallelujah. Then even says, if you're faithful in another man's, then if you're not faithful in another man's, who will give to you your own? That means sometimes you may need to be faithful in Pastor Moses' own so that he can increase you and now give you your own somewhere else. Glory to Jesus. That's the sovereignty of God. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. So he creates, he sets times, he sets bounds of habitation, including places of assignment. Hallelujah. And then in these places, glory to Jesus. In these places, there is something we've talked about, increase and enlargement. He calls it promotion in Psalms chapter 75. He says promotion does not come from the east or the west or the south, but God is judge. He puts one up and he puts another down. So that we have seen. There's promotion, there's increase. And then also in these places of operation, there is what he calls experience. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, he says the race is not to the swift, nor is the battle to the strong, no bread to the wise, no riches to men of understanding, hallelujah, no favor to men of skill, but time and chance happens to them all. You're given a space, you're given a place of assignment. Now within this space, God is sending you experiences. This word chance means experience. Or at the same time, it means opportunities. So God will be, you see, walking with God and working with God is not like one straight line thing without that's uneventful. It's made up of encounters. Hallelujah. Now, these encounters happen in the form of what he calls chances. The race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong. Bread is not to the wise. Riches are not to men of understanding. Nor is favor to men of skill. But time and chance happens to them all. Now, you have nothing to do with the chance. Glory to God. Yes, we can. Hallelujah. You have nothing to do with the chance. He chooses the chances that are coming your way. But when the chance comes, my friend, it is you who will either jump on the chance, rise to the occasion, or not. And if things flop, it is not God. Hallelujah. You can't say, God knows. He can do anything he wants at it. No. The race is not to the, and like I normally say, you see, this brings some light, some understanding we need to see. When David says he teaches my hands to war, and in my hand, a bow of steel is broken, he's showing you that, you see, the kind of chances he's sending your way are the kind of chances you're preparing for. Hallelujah. He doesn't send the power to run faster than what? Than the swift to someone who is just eating donuts. Hallelujah. He doesn't send this ability to fight battles. He's not sent to guys who are playing video games. You know? No, it is like those guys who went to David and were broken and beaten, and he trained them. Then when he trained them, another power, negabambala, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So you are like these guys. He says the horse is made ready for battle, but victory is of the Lord. Now, God may tell those people that, no, today don't fight, just go with harps and sing and what. These are warriors playing with harps, eh? But don't mistake it, they are fighters. So when he says, the race is not to the swift, that power to race, it happens to everybody, don't mistake me. Elijah was not a runner, and the power came upon him, and he ran faster than the horses of the king. But that was not the ordinary way. The ordinary way was when people killed 800 men, like this guy called Adino, the Esnite. He killed 800 men at once. This guy had already been doing battle drills and training and all of that. So when the anointing came upon him, it was an extra. Those are the chances I'm talking about. That's the yes we can. Hallelujah. Yes we can, but can you jump on your chance? Glory to Jesus. So the race is not to the swift. He's trying to tell them that even if you are swift, trust me for another swiftness. Even if you are strong, like David used to kill bears and lions, but he says, he's saying God teaches me how to fight. He's teaching a fighter how to fight. Hallelujah. Then he says, bread is not to the wise. He says, riches are not to men of understanding. So he's not despising understanding. He's actually saying, get some. He says, wisdom is the principal thing, and in all thy getting, get understanding. But when you get this understanding, then another kind of riches will come to you that is not to men of understanding only. Hallelujah. Now, that is the kind of power and ability that makes people do things like multiplying food to feed 5,000 people. Hallelujah. Those guys could mobilize and buy that food. And they used to do it. Hallelujah. They had the money back. They used to buy food, give people. But God wants to give you the divine extra in form of chances. And then he says, favor is not to men of skill. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. That is trying to tell you that get skill, my friend. Get as much skill as you can, because it says a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. Now, when you get there in front of great men like Daniel, you see, Daniel had skill. Remember, the angel even came to him and told him, from the first day that you began to pray, I was sent because of your words. Then what did he say? He said, I have now come to give you skill. Oh my, I like that. He gives skill to those who have skill. He gives power to race to those who are racers. He gives bread to those who are wise, but bread which is beyond their wisdom. That's why he says that that he might bring to naught the things that are. He has chosen the weak things to confound the mighty. The things that are strong to bring down the things that are mighty. Then the foolish things to confound the wise. He's not saying you be foolish and then the wise will be confounded. No. He's saying you be wise. But then there is another wisdom that will be given to you who has reached the end of your wisdom. Glory to Jesus. Those are the chances that we're talking about. Now, when this Daniel, whom the angel told, I've come to give you skill, went to the king, he told the king, oh Lord, the king, I think, wanted to offer him money and told him, you keep the money. But the thing that you have inquired of me, it is not me who can give you that understanding, but the Lord who is the revealer of secrets, he shall reveal to the king what the dream was and what the interpretation was. I'm trying to show you that Daniel had skill, but he did not depend on yesterday's skill. He depended on the now word from the Lord. And that's what I mean by chances. God is going to do something mighty in your life, but he wants you to be heading in that direction. That's why he says in James 4:8 that draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. I will draw near to those who draw near to me. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently, they shall find me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're out of time. Thank you.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.